Welcome to Conversations with Puppet Labs, featuring leaders of automation, operations, and technology.
My name is Eric Ridman. I'm an engineer at Basho. We make the distributed database called React. And distributed patterns in action was just an attempt to show that the patterns that are used in a distributed system similar to React aren't necessarily bound to a specific programming language or a specific use case. They're sort of general patterns that everybody can use so that they can write their own distributed system. And in order to help drive that point home, I use a language that is not generally associated with distributed systems, which is Ruby. So there's a little bit of Ruby code in there as proof that anyone can leverage these concepts.
Great. And so what were some of the major concepts that you're trying to communicate?
First off, the concept of why you want to distribute at all. There's this idea that distribution means one thing. It means, okay, well, that means I can handle more load. Well, yes, but there are several reasons on why somebody would want to distribute. What do you mean? Do you mean read load? Do you mean write load? Are you trying to expand resources because you can't fit everything onto one machine? Or are you trying to increase throughput? Since you've distributed across multiple nodes, you get more bandwidth usage that way. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to distribute, and there are some general patterns that you can apply to meet certain ends that don't necessarily apply everywhere. For example, when you replicate value, so you can just straight up replicate a write to a whole bunch of nodes, which if you're very read heavy, that's a great thing because you can read from any single node. But the downside is you now have to keep those replications in sync, which is fraught with a whole bunch of other problems. So you apply a different pattern to deal with the replication problems. On the other hand, you could simply say, okay, well, fine, I'm just going to shard my data set and keep some span of values in one node, another span of values in another, another span of values in another. That's cool, but now you actually have less safety because if any one of those servers goes down, you have lost that portion of the data set. You've increased your ability to write more quickly, but the payoff is less safe. So there's a lot of trade-offs that need made when trying to make these decisions. So I'm just want to help people navigate which patterns to use for which use cases.
Great. Yeah. In your description, you talk about two patterns in specific. Do you want to mention those?
Well, I actually was just talking about the concepts, not particularly the patterns. The specific design patterns I'm going to be talking about are consistent hashing, which is a mechanism for distributing key space across multiple nodes that allows you to add and remove nodes without having to thrash when you rebalance, rather than just sort of a naive hash where if you add one node, you can have to rebalance 90% of your data. Whereas in a consistent hash, if you added a node, it could be, you know, 5, 6, 7%. And by that, I mean rebalancing, meaning that you have to move values to new servers because you have a different count. So that's one. Some of the patterns I'm talking about are actually messaging patterns, request, reply, pub, sub, these sort of network and messaging patterns. So not all of them are necessarily design patterns in the data structure sense. Let's see, we're talking about Merkle trees, talk about vector clocks. Vector clocks are a way of having a sense of causality in your data so you know what happened before what. Anyway, there's just several that I'm going to go over.
And so Basho is a company? Is that also the name of an open source project?
No, Basho is the company that makes the database called React. And React is a distributed database. And it's primarily a key value store, although there are other ways of querying it. And it's something else I'm going to talk about in this talk as well. You can run MapReduce across it. It's got secondary indexing. It's got distributed search and things like that. But high availability is really the name of the game when we're talking about React. When I mean high availability, I mean if nodes go down, you should still have access to your data. You still be able to write. You should still be able to read it. That sort of extreme uptime, it takes a lot of work to design a system in that way, but what I'm hoping to convey is that with judicious use of certain well-known design patterns, it actually isn't as complicated as you might think.
And is React then a NoSQL database? Or maybe you could talk a bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, if you like the term NoSQL, then it definitely falls under the term NoSQL database. I mean, it is a database. It's not relational. If that's your definition, then yes. Other people have definitions of NoSQL databases, which means effectively web scale, to use, you know, the parlance of our times. So I suppose under that moniker, it's also NoSQL. Some people don't consider it a database because it's key value store. A lot of people use it as a database, which it should be. So sure, yeah, you call it a NoSQL database.
I guess what I'm wondering is, what are some of the pain points that people would turn to React versus like a relational database like MySQL? What are some of the pain points?
Yeah, and that's actually interesting that you mentioned it in terms of pain points, because React isn't necessarily a database that people start with. It's the one that they come to after they're already seeing the pain of trying to manage other databases. React is a very operation-friendly database. You know, we sort of joke that it's great for operators because they can sleep at night, because if nodes go down, they can just, you know, just sleep till morning and then fix them later on. Whereas a lot of databases where if a node goes down at 3 a.m., somebody's got to get up and fix it immediately. So pain points are scalability. The idea is that React is a distributed system that persists data rather than a database that has been turned distributed. And that sort of subtle shift in thinking underlies everything that we do, because if you take a database, and I don't want to pick on any specific implementation, but if you take a relational database and then you try to distribute it, you find that you actually lose a lot once you do that, because you can lose a lot of the guarantees that you expect in your relational database. People will say, oh, well, you know, Postgres is ACID compliant, but once you start replicating it, you're not atomic anymore. Those updates, it's now an eventually consistent, because unless you were to lock the entire replication to ensure that that write happened, if you write it to one master and it has yet to replicate to a slave, you've lost data. I mean, this breaks your consistency guarantees. Consistency in the distributed sense, not in the ACID consistency sense. So atomic, I guess, is probably a better word in that case. Whereas something like React, it's built to handle these cases, so there's not a lot of surprises in the way that it acts. Anybody who has ever had a primary RDBMS system that they back up, or have a secondary that they back up to, and that primary goes down and they load up that backup data and they've lost something, should implicitly understand the problem. And so this is one example of something that we attempt to resolve.
And so I guess a metaphor that comes to mind is a hologram, where you break off a little piece of the whole and it contains all of the information. And I guess it seems a little impossible to have every data stored everywhere. So I guess I'm just kind of wondering where the data ends up.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So that's replication. So I had mentioned in the beginning when we first started talking, when people talk about distributed, you can replicate data, meaning that a value gets placed in multiple locations. Or you can shard data, which means that you sort of take your entire key space and different partitions of that key space get placed in different locations. You can do both. And that's exactly what we do. So you write a value to a React node and it will get replicated to N more nodes. So you can lose up to N minus one nodes and you still have access to that data. Now, what's interesting is the way that React then deals with the case of, okay, well, what if you have a cascading failure and then, you know, one node fails and the next node fails, the next node fails. What React will then do is it has the concept of primary replication, secondary replication. So primary being, okay, I want to replicate to three nodes. That's where it will attempt to replicate. However, in the case where one or two of those primaries are unavailable, or three even, it will then start going to secondary nodes. So it'll say, okay, while you're gone, another node will play your role and store your data for you. And I give it the example, it's sort of akin to you going on vacation and a neighbor gets your mail while you're gone. Then when you bring that node back online, you give the mail back to the original owner. in a process that we call hinted handoff. So it just hands it back. So again, it's about being very operations friendly. You know, we've had cases where almost half of nodes have gone down in production. Everything runs smoothly and it's fine. It just keeps working. And sometimes that's a little dangerous because it's almost like plumbing in this case where you just don't notice it. It's just working and humming along fine in the background. And so it's too easy to forget that it's there, which is a good thing if you're writing applications and you just want to persist data in some way. It's good to not have to think about and babysit that portion of it. Because most people just want to solve problems. They just want to write code. They want to have an application. They don't want to be thinking about, oh God, is my database running?
And so in talking about design patterns for distributed systems, what do you hope people take away from your presentation and then go and do?
Twofold. One, this is primarily an exercise in demystification. I don't want anybody to leave thinking that distributed systems are beyond the realm of your average programmer. People can write them. And I did a reference implementation that I'm going to go over, at least in parts, and it's about 400 and some lines of Ruby code. I mean, it's not industrial strength by any means. And anybody listening, please don't download it and use it in production. But at the very least, the concepts are there and it works. The other thing is that it's not necessarily the domain of certain quote unquote industrial strength programming languages. I mean, React is written in Erlang for some very good reasons. Erlang is fantastic as a programming language for writing distributed systems because of the way it has built-in message passing between processes. It's a fantastic choice for stability because of OTP, where supervisors can respawn workers that crash. It's scalable in a very predictive way. A lot of reasons use Erlang. Love it. Absolutely love the language. But you don't have to use it to write a distributed system, just like you don't have to use Java or Scala or Go or anything like that. That's why I picked Ruby. I specifically wanted to pick a language that, well, two reasons. One, because it's just easier to follow along and read on slides. But two, it's not necessarily a language most people associate with building distributed systems against. And as a showcase for these design patterns, I really wanted to drive home the point that you can distribute anything.
And finally, I'm just curious about some of the open problems that you see in the space of distributed systems that are kind of the hard problems or things that are still left to be solved.
As far as left to be solved, consensus is still a big problem. It's a big problem space. We're getting much better at it. The fact that the number one prevailing consensus algorithm, Paxos, is also one of the most complex algorithms, not just to implement, but also to even understand. It's a fantastic algorithm. Its success speaks for itself, but there need to be better options out there. There's just a paper that came out of Stanford recently called Raft, which is, it's a specification to be able to implement a simple consensus algorithm. And there's a lot of high hopes for this, but there should be more. Part of it is also, one of our guys at Basho had said, why is there no libpaxos? Why is there just no library built into Linux and everything to do this sort of common consensus work that we're all having to re-implement? There's a reason everybody talks about Zookeeper, because it's an implementation and it works. I mean, that's great. There should be more. There needs to be more competition in this space. I mean, we can't just forever keep going back to the Zookeeper or Paxos well. And at the same time, we also shouldn't have to keep re-implementing it for every single case we want, whenever we want consensus. So that's a big one. There's something that we're adding to React that I'm very excited about, which is CRDTs. React 1.4 just came out a couple weeks ago, and our first implementation of CRDTs, which are our convergent counters. I'm throwing out CRDTs. What that is, convergent replicated data types, or commutative replicated data types, or conflict-free replicated data types. The C stands for, you know, like three different things. The idea being predefined data types that converge in a knowable way. One of the problems with a distributed, eventually consistent system is the possibility of conflicts. If you think about Git, but if you work on a file and someone else works on a file and you go to check them out, what's Git going to do? It's going to say, oh, there's a conflict. You have to merge this. Exact same problem happens in databases or anything, anytime where you have state that's replicated across multiple servers. If they're able to independently write, meaning that they're available, and you go to pull them down, you have to converge them in some way. One of the problems, one of the longstanding problems, is some databases will just pick one for you based off of like a timestamp or something like that, which is, again, a horrible thing. That would be, again, sort of like GitHub saying, okay, you changed a file, your friend changed a file 2 hours later, so your changes are all blown away and he wins because he did his last, most recently. A lot of cases do this. Not generally desired or recommended. What React does is we have this concept of siblings where we just keep both values, and this is much more like GitHub, where it will return both values back, but now your client is responsible for resolving them. And this is something else I'm going to talk about in my talk as well, where since you have both values back, now your client has to decide, okay, I have them, what do I want to do with them? An example might be a shopping cart where you're logged into the same account, and on one computer you say, okay, I want to buy Lord of the Rings DVD set, and the other one is, I want to buy Hello Kitty nightgown. And if they're on two different nodes, when it goes to converge them, what do you do? Well, in that case, what you want to do is you have a set and you just want to merge them. You want to do a union of those items and then present them back to the user and say, here's the things that are in your shopping cart. You don't want one to blow away the other. So what CRDTs will do is you predefine and say, okay, I want a set that will do a union for me. So from a usability point of view, it's really nice because you no longer have to deal with that conflict. The system deals with that conflict because you told it how to. Counters are another case. Maps are another case. Arrays are another case. There's just endless types of, you know, data types. React is implementing, we're implementing them right now, and we're aiming to have them out soon. So it's very, very, very exciting stuff because it's definitely going to change the landscape of how people interact with the kind of high availability distributed systems.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you.